Will you please turn to the book of Revelation? Revelation chapter 10. Revelation chapter 10. We begin with the first verse. And I saw another strong angel coming down out of the heaven, clothed with a cloud and a rainbow upon his head, and his countenance as the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire, and having in his hand a little open book. And he set his right foot on the sea, and the left on the earth, and cried with a loud voice as a lion roars. And when he cried, the seven thunders uttered their own voices. And when the seven thunders spoke, I was about to write, and I heard a voice out of heaven saying, seal the things which these seven thunders have spoken, and write them not. And the angel whom I saw stand on the sea and on the earth lifted up his right hand to the heaven, and swore by him that lives to the ages of ages, who created the heavens and the earth that are in it, and the things that are in it, and the earth and the things that are in it, and the sea and the things that are in it, that there should be no longer delay, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he is about to sound the trumpet, the mystery of God also shall be completed, as he has made known the glad tidings to his own bondmen, the prophets. Lately, we have been considering together the book of Revelation. First of all, we see that this book is called the Revelation. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him to show to us his bondman. In other words, in this book, God intends to reveal his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, to us. When God reveals, we see. So to us, it is a vision. Through the revelation of God, we see the Lord Jesus in a new way, in a way that we may never seen before. And that is what the book Revelation really is. Now, in the past two times, we have considered the first one, the first vision of our Lord Jesus, recorded in the first chapter of this book. We see him as one like the Son of Man in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. In other words, we see the risen Lord as head over his church, his body. We see the Lord as the great high priest ministering in the true sanctuary, his church. And then we also see in the fourth and fifth chapters of the book of Revelation, the second vision of our Lord Jesus, the Lamb in the midst of the throne. He is in the midst of the throne because he is the Lamb. It is because of his emptying himself. It is because of his humbling himself, being obedient to the Father, even unto death, and the death of the cross. And because of this, the Lamb is today in the midst of the throne, in the place of authority and of power. And that is the second vision that we see. Now this morning we would like to come to the third vision of our Lord Jesus in this book of Revelation. And in the third vision, you find it is a continuation. Why? Because in the fifth chapter, we see the Lamb in the midst of the throne, receiving a book sealed with seven seals. He received the book because he is worthy. He received the book in order to open the seals. So there you'll find immediately after the fifth chapter, the Lamb begins to open the seals. And when we come to the tenth chapter, all the seven seals have been opened. And here we find a strong angel coming down out of heaven. In chapter 5, we find the Lamb in the midst of the throne. It depicts the ascension of our Lord Jesus. After he had accomplished salvation, he ascended up on high and received from the Father the earth as his inheritance. But here we find the strong angel descending out of heaven. In chapter 5, it is ascending to heaven. But in chapter 10, it is descending out of heaven. In chapter 5, it is the beginning of the restoration, of restoring all things to God's purpose. But here we find in chapter 10, it is towards the ending of the work of restoring all things to the Father. We know this strong angel is none other than our Lord Jesus. Now how do we know that the strong angel in chapter 10 of Revelation is our Lord Jesus? By the way that this angel is being described. First of all, we find he is called an angel. Now, in the Old Testament, we find the Lord Jesus, before he came to this earth, whenever you find in the 10th Old Testament, the angel of the Lord, you know that it is referring to the second person of the Godhead. It is the Lord. But here again in the Revelation, you find he is called an angel. Why? Because angels are ministering spirits. They are sent by God to serve God's purpose. In one sense, you find our Lord Jesus is sent by the Father to minister to the Father's will. While he was on earth, he said, I can do nothing by myself. Whatever I do it according to the Father. Throughout his life on earth, he served the Father's will. And even here you'll find he is called an angel. He is still serving his Father's will. He will continue to serve his Father's will until his Father's will is completed. And here he is called a strong angel. Why is he called strong angel? Because he is the strongest of all angels. He is the only one in heaven and on earth and underneath the earth who is worthy to take the book and open the seals. And there is his strength. He comes down out of heaven because he had ascended and now he is ready to come down, clothed with a cloud. You know, in Psalm 18, when the psalmist described God as coming forth, in Psalm 18 verse 10, and he rode upon a cherub and did fly, yea, he flew fast upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place, his tent round about him, darkness of water, thick clouds of the skies. From the brightness before him, his thick clouds passed forth, hail and coals of fire. We find that when God travels, he travels with the clouds. In other words, there is brightness within, the glory of the Lord within. But the glory of the Lord is being shrouded with thick clouds. So from the outside you cannot see anything. It's a mystery. But of course, within the cloud there is brightness. When God appeared on Mount Sinai, he came with clouds. And our Lord Jesus testified to the high priest and to the council that judge him, saying that you shall see the Son of Man coming out of heaven with the cloud. So we know that our Lord Jesus, he will come back with the cloud. And because he will come back with the cloud, there is still a certain amount of mystery there. Until he breaks the cloud and like lightning descends upon the earth, then the mystery is completely fulfilled. And a rainbow upon his head. In chapter 4 of the book of Revelation, we see the throne of God in heaven. And there is a rainbow around the throne. Of course, we usually only see maybe a part of the rainbow, or at most half of the rainbow. But there you find around the throne, you see a circle, a whole circle of the rainbow, there on the throne of God. But here you find the rainbow is upon his head, like a crown upon the head of our Lord Jesus. Even in judgment, there is the remembrance of mercy. Because rainbow speaks of mercy. You remember when after God punished this earth with water, and after the water subsided, and God made a covenant with Noah and his children, and God put a rainbow on the sky to alleviate the fear of man. That God is the God of mercy. So even though this strong angel comes to execute God's judgment upon this earth, and yet, in judgment, he remembers mercy. And his countenance as the sun. We see that in the first chapter. The Lord Jesus there in the first chapter as one like the Son of Man, with his face, with his countenance as the sun, shine in his power. And here again you find his countenance as the sun. In other words, his inner beauty, his inward beauty is fully manifested in his life. And his feet as pillars of fire. Again, we see that in the first vision. His feet as burning brass in the furnace. And here his feet as a pillars of fire. Now, brothers and sisters, when you think of pillars of fire, what picture does it come back to you? Naturally, it is Exodus. There you'll find God led the children of Israel out of Egypt through the wilderness with the pillars of fire and of cloud. Now, to the children of Israel, the pillar of fire is protection, is guidance, is the presence of the Lord, is a blessing. But to the Egyptians, the pillar of fire is judgment and condemnation. So here you find the Lord, as the strong angels, has his feet like pillars of fire. So far as his own are concerned, it is a blessing, a presence, a protection, a guidance. But so far as his enemies are concerned, it speaks of judgment and condemnation. And having in his hand a little open book. In chapter 5, when the Lamb stepped forward to receive the book from God on the throne, it is a book sealed. In other words, it is a roll. It is a book, a scroll, rolled together and sealed. So you do not really know how big or how small it is. But after the seals are all open, then the book is an open book. And it is a small book. A little opened book. Of course we know this book speaks of the title deed. It is the title deed of the earth. Is the title deed. God has that in his hand. And the angel, our Lord as the strong angel, he comes to execute the deeds of God, to claim the earth as his inheritance. Now to us it is a tremendous book. But so far as God is concerned, it is a little book. Because our God is so much greater. So even this is just a little open book. And he cried with a loud voice as a lion roars. Of course, in chapter 5, we find that our Lord Jesus is like a lamb. And yet the angel said, "Behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah." So here you find he roars as a lion. He speaks of his strength. It is by his strength, by his victory on Calvary's cross, that he executes the will of God upon this earth to bring all things back to the original design of God. And thank God, our Lord Jesus is doing that. We know that this is what he has begun to do after his ascension. And we know that it is what he is still doing today. Until he will bring all things to God, to the glory of his Father. And then the thunders began to utter their voices. The seven thunders utter their own voices. Now evidently John understood what the seven thunders said, because otherwise he would not be able to write them down. He was going to write them down. So he understood. But he was not allowed to recall them. It is something kept in secret. You know this thing, the same thing happened to Paul. Paul was caught up to the third heaven. And then he was caught away to paradise. And he heard things that people should not know. And he was not allowed to tell us what he heard in paradise. So dear brothers and sisters, today there still are things that we do not know. Today there still are things God may reveal to some, But God does not allow it to be known by all. We are still living in a time of mystery. There are still things that are being concealed, hidden. But thank God, whatever has been made known is for us. It is for us to listen and to obey. And this strong angel, as he descends from heaven, he put his right, he lifted up, he put his, he set his right foot on the sea and the left upon the earth. You know, whenever you put your foot down, it means that you take possession of it. You know, when the children of Israel enter into the promised land, wherever the sole of their foot should step on, it is theirs. So here you find this strong angel. He put his right foot on the land and his left foot on the sea. In other words, here he comes to take possession of his possession. In the second psalm it says, at ascending of our Lord Jesus, the Father said, ask of me, and I will give you the earth as your inheritance, and for your possession, the nations as your inheritance, and for your possession, the end of the earth. That happened at the ascension of our Lord Jesus. But now you'll find it is describing the descension of our Lord Jesus. He put his foot on the land and on the sea. In other words, he now comes to take full possession of this universe. He lifts up his right hand and swore by him who lives to the ages of ages, who created the heaven and the things that are in it, and the earth and the things that are in it, and the sea that the things that are in it, that there should be no longer delay. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he is about to sound the trumpet, the mystery of God also shall be completed, as he has made known the glad tidings to his own bondmen, the prophets. In this vision, you'll find a strong angel taking possession of this earth, and then he proclaims, there should be no longer delay. You know, dear brothers and sisters, the cry of the ages is, how long? Since our Lord Jesus has ascended up to heaven, his church has been waiting on earth for 20 centuries. And in every century, it is the cry of the saints. How long? How long? Especially when the goings are difficult. Especially when the times are very hard. Especially where there are persecutions. Then you'll find the cry of God's people on this earth is always, how long? How long? It appears as if he has delayed his return. But we know he does not want to postpone his return. Is there any bridegroom who is not anxious to receive his bride? Certainly, so far as our Lord Jesus is concerned, he is ever ready, and he is most anxious to return, to claim his body as his bride. But for 20 centuries, he has not yet come. It seems as if everything is being postponed and being delayed. Why? There are two reasons. So far as the world is concerned, it is because of the long suffering of God. We know in 2 Peter chapter 3, in the last days there will be mockers with mocking and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For from the time the fathers fell asleep, all things remained thus from the beginning of the creation. They are mockers. People are mocking. And say, where is the promise of his coming? He is not coming back. The world is today as it was yesterday. It is the same. And we will live like this, continue on endlessly. But in verse 8, but let not this one thing be hidden from you, beloved, that one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord does not delay his promise. Outwardly, it appears as if the Lord has delayed his promise. But the word of God said the Lord does not delay his promise, as some account of delay, but is long-suffering towards you, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. One reason why it appears to be delayed, it is because of the long suffering of God. God does not want any to perish, but God wants all to repent. It is the patience, the long suffering of God. And yet how the world misunderstands. They even mock God. They even laugh, ridicule the Lord. And yet, he is still patiently waiting. Waiting for repentance. That is one reason. And there is another reason to it. And the other reason is, he is anxiously, patiently waiting for his body to be completed. He cannot come back if his bride is not yet ready. If the body is not fully matured, if the body is not fully grown into the fullness of the stature of the fullness of Christ, then he has no way to claim this body as his bride. In other words, he does not delay. We delay him. How important it is for us to see this. Oftentimes we think that we are crying out, how long, how long? And yet, the Lord in heaven is saying, how long, how long? We think that the responsibility rests in him. He should have come back long ago. But not knowing that the responsibility is with us. He is patiently giving us time. Oh, dear brothers and sisters, if the Lord shall return today, if there is no more time, suppose there is no more time today, no more time for us to be matured, no more time for us to be obedient, no more time for us to be grown up, no more time for us to finish the work that God has committed to us,
What will happen? He is giving us time that we may grow. We may be fully grown and be matured. Our Lord Jesus uses a few parables. He said, there is an evil servant. And the evil servant says in his heart, the master will delay his return. The evil servant does not deny that the master will return, as you have said. But the evil servant says in his heart, the master certainly will not come soon. He will be delayed. And because of that, you'll find he began to drink. He began to beat his fellow servants. He began to be careless. And at a time that he does not expect his master return. That's an evil servant. But a good servant is ever ready. A good servant will be faithful in all the things that the Lord has assigned him to do. Why? Because he will be watching and waiting. And if he is watching and waiting, and in whatever hour the master should come back, the servant is ready for him. He is a good servant. Well done. Come into the joy of the Lord. Dear brothers and sisters, may the Lord examine our hearts. Whether in our hearts there is evil or there is good. Whether in our heart is a well, the Lord will not come yet. Or we expect him not to come. You know, sometimes there is such a paradox. On the one hand, sometimes we pray, thy kingdom come. As if we mean it. And yet secretly in the heart, oh Lord, don't come now. I'm not ready yet. That's the heart of an evil servant. We need to be watchful and be ready any moment. And dear brothers and sisters, what a good news it is when the strong angels were unto God who made the heaven and the earth and said, there shall be no longer delay. There will be no longer delay. It's coming. It's arriving. That is good news. Oh, brothers and sisters, just a little while, and he that is promised to come will come. But he said, may the just live by faith. There should be no longer delay. That's a good news. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he is about to sound the trumpet, the mystery of God also shall be completed. All the seven seals have been opened. The six trumpets have been blown. It remains just for the sounding of the last trumpet. And then the mystery of God shall be completed. Now, what is the mystery of God? The mystery of God, as he has made known the glad tidings to his own bondman, the prophet. In other words, the mystery of God is being revealed in the glad tidings. The gospel of Jesus Christ, the glad tidings that we receive, reveals the mystery of God. and the mystery of God shall be completed at the sounding of the seventh trumpet. And then if you turn to chapter 11 of Revelation, beginning with verse 15, and the seventh angel sounded his trumpet, and there were great voices in the heaven saying, the kingdom of the Lord, world of our Lord and his Christ is come, and he shall reign to the ages of ages. And the 24 elders who sit on their thrones before God fell upon their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give thee thanks, Lord God Almighty, he who is and who was, that thou hast taken thy great power and hast reigned. At the sounding of the seventh trumpet, then the mystery of God shall be completed. And the mystery of God is described in chapter 11, several things. Number one, the first thing in the mystery of God that shall be completed is the kingdom of this world shall become the kingdom of God and his Christ. This world today is under the usurper. Satan is temporarily called the ruler, the prince of this world. The kingdoms on this earth join together and plot against God and his anointed. If you read the second psalm, you'll find how the nations, how the princes of this earth, the kingdoms of this earth, how they join together to plot against God and his anointed, Christ. And this is what the world is. But thank God, one day, and there shall be no longer delay, it is coming soon, the kingdoms of this world shall become the kingdom of our God and of his Christ. His kingdom shall come. He shall reign upon this earth. His power and authority shall be manifested. Oh, brothers and sisters, how often we feel, why is it that God does not manifest his authority and power today? Yes, he does. But not in fullness. How we hope that God will stretch out his arms and show forth his strength and his authority and power over all things upon this earth in fullness. That will come when the kingdom shall become his. Then his authority and power shall be fully manifested. But today, even though there are manifestations of his authority and power, as evidence that all power in heaven and earth belong to him, and yet we feel evil seems to rule over this earth. We still see the kingdoms of this world, how they are in a conspiracy against God. Again, we find the great patience of God, the long suffering of God. But the day is coming. His kingdom shall come upon this earth, and his power and authority shall be fully manifested. What a day it will be. We look forward to that day. Then the second element in the mystery of God is, and the nation shall have been full of wrath, and thy wrath is come. You know, the nation have been full of wrath. The nations are angry. They are angry against God and against the anointed of God. But their wrath has no cause. They have no reason to be angry. And yet they are angry. But the day is coming when the wrath of God is come. Today, spiritually speaking, the wrath of God is already upon all who do not believe. You remember John 3:36? He that believes has eternal life, and he that does not believe, the wrath of God is upon him. Spiritually speaking, the wrath of God is already upon all who do not believe. But the wrath of God has not been executed. It is upon the head, but is waiting to be executed. Why? Because God desires that all shall repent. But the day is come. The wrath of God shall be executed. And when the wrath of God is come, who can stand? That is also the mystery of God. It is a mystery today. Why there is a wrath of God and yet is not executed? It's a mystery. Why does God allow the wrath of the nations? It's a mystery. But a mystery will be over. No longer delay. The wrath of God shall come. And three, and the time of the dead to be judged. Of course, this looks forward, even beyond millennium. Why? Because we know the judgment of the dead does not come until after millennium. In the 20th chapter of the book of Revelation, there will be the great white throne, and all the dead shall be given up, and shall be resurrected, and they shall all stand before the great white throne, and all will be judged according to the book. But at the sounding of the seventh trumpet, this mystery is opening up too. So it looks forward even beyond millennium. Why? A thousand years is as a day to the Lord. So one day, and the day is coming, all the dead shall be judged. And number four, and to give recompense to thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and to those who fear thy name, small and great. It is not only judgment to the dead, but it is also reward. Reward to the prophets, to the saints, and to all who fear the name of the Lord. Remember, dear brothers and sisters, it is more than just the gift of eternal life. How we thank God for the gift of eternal life. Eternal life is the gift of God. It is not something that we earn. It is not something that we get by our merits. We have none. It is not something as wages to the work we have done. None at all. Eternal life is a free gift of God. But, dear brothers and sisters, there is more. There is more. He will not only give us the gift of eternal life, but having received the gift of eternal life, that life in us has such a potential that it will work out unto reward. Without the eternal life in us, we cannot do the will of God. We cannot please God. But with the eternal life of God given to us, we have the ability, we have the potentiality in us, where there is a possibility in us to do the will of God, to keep His commandments, to obey Him, and to do His work. And when we are faithful, He says, he will reward us. He will reward us. There will be recompense. There will be reward. What is the reward? The reward is the glory of reigning with Christ for 1,000 years. Those who are faithful to the Lord, they shall reign with Christ. Those who suffer with him today, they shall reign and rule with him in the kingdom age. They shall receive the crown of life, the crown of righteousness. They shall sit on the throne. They shall receive 5 cities, 10 cities. Reward. Now think of that. You know, sometimes people get confused with this matter of gift and reward. People may think, well, do you earn your salvation? No. No. Eternal life is the free gift of God. But the glory in the kingdom is something that is only rewarded to those who are faithful. You may think it is your work. You may think it is you who earned that reward. And yet no, it is the eternal life in you. It is still the gift of God. It is still the grace of God. But you allow the grace of God to complete its work in you, instead of wasting the grace of God. So, dear brothers and sisters, in the final analysis, it is still grace. Even though it is a reward. And reward means that you deserve it, so you are rewarded. But how do you deserve it? Not because of what you are. It is because of what he is in you. Oh, how we look forward to that day. And then finally, and to destroy those that destroy the earth. How Satan had destroyed this earth. How the Antichrist, the false prophets, how the evil have destroyed the earth. But the day is coming, and they shall be no longer delayed. He will destroy the destroyer of the earth. And at that time, you'll find all things shall be restored. All things shall be restored to God's original purpose. Because all things were created according to his will and for his pleasure. And the day is coming when all things shall be fully restored. It is through our Lord Jesus that he reconciled all things back to the fullness of God. But here is the honor of the church. Because the church shares in this work of restoring all things. God has made Christ head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him, who fills all and in all. So the church today is to carry out what the Lord has accomplished in our own lives, in our lives together, in all things that have any relationship to us. We are to bring all things to the feet of our Lord Jesus. And this is the way, this is the process, that Christ is doing the work of restoring all things back to the Father. And the word here is, there shall be no longer delay. Dear brothers and sisters, this is a great encouragement to us. No longer delay. He is coming soon. He is the strong angel. He will not fail. Even though outwardly it seems as if the world is getting worse and worse, further and further away from God. And yet, dear brothers and sisters, we know that it is the Lord as the strong angel who is reclaiming all things, who is restoring all things to God. And he cannot fail. He will perfect it. And at the same time, how we need to really seize the time. This is the time, the opportunity that we have to seize upon it, that we may grow fully matured. We may do the will of God. We may please him. Because there should be no longer delay. Dear brothers and sisters, again, if he says there should be no longer delay, there will be no longer delay. Let us be watchful and be ready. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, how we praise and thank thee for showing us that thy Son, our Lord Jesus, is the one who is carrying out thy will upon this earth and all things. He is the strong one who is restoring all things to thy original design. Oh, how we praise and thank thee, knowing that this work is in his hand. We know that it shall be done. And we do praise and thank thee that thou dost draw us unto thyself, to join with thee in this work of restoring all things. O Lord, we pray that all things may be first restored in us, and then through us, unto the praise of thy glory. We just ask thee to show us
thy mercy, thy long-suffering, thy patience with us, and we do pray that by thy grace we may be faithful. In the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.